Blog Talk Radio.
We are so excited to have you listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show. Please call, text, or email family, business associates, or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now. Or they can join us on the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC or by phone at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Don't forget to follow us by liking our page and post your questions or comments. NABWIC's intent is to always go into the high schools and colleges to encourage our young black girls and women to enter into the construction industry and to take interest into the STEM programs that are offered. We encourage you to listen to this show or past shows on the internet by logging in at www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC. Thank you, and we're back.
Thank you, and we do want to welcome you to NABWIC Talk. This is the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio, and my name is Carol Ransom. I am your host today, and we do want to welcome in the studio a special guest, Mr. Joe Robinson. Joe Robinson, you want to say hello to our listening audience?
Yes, how you doing, the NABWIC listening audience? It's a great pleasure, and I appreciate you guys inviting me on the show today.
Yes, sir. Joe Robinson is a candidate for the District 5 Hillsborough County School Board in Tampa, Florida. Not only is he a candidate, but he is one of the prominent movers and shakers here in Hillsborough County. Community-minded, a man who gets things done. Joe, tell us a little bit about your involvement here in Hillsborough County, City of Tampa, some of the things that you've been privileged to be involved with.
Well, you know, I'm from Hillsborough County. Actually, I was born in Polk County, and my mother was a school teacher for 44 years. She taught in Pinellas County because she said that Hillsborough County didn't pay enough and it was too much racism back when she started in 54. But I learned a lot from schools from her. And I've been involved with school districts for the past 20 years dealing with issues. And my passion is because of the fact that I've been a community activist ever since I got out of college. I went from high school here at Tampa Catholic, and then I went on to the University of Iowa, where I received a Bachelor's of Science in Mechanical Engineering. And I also was one of the charter members of the National Society of Black Engineers in 1975 at Purdue. We actually started the organization called the National Society of Black Engineers that has grown now to have over 33,000 students and PhD members and everybody else, and it's a student-run organization. So I'm sort of proud of that, and that sort of gives me my passion for engineering and STEM programs and pushing forward also even minority business with that. So, you know, came back from college and I got involved in West Tampa, been here in the family home since 1962, and I've done a lot of community work and redevelopment with CDBG, community development block grants, zoning, cleaning up the neighborhood, dealing with crime, and to the point now that we have created an area called a community redevelopment area, a CRA, and we're getting ready launch that for the West Tampa. And it's going to bring dollars back, TIF dollars back, tax increment financing dollars back to help the neighborhood revitalize itself. So that's just a little bit of what spurred me and how I got started. Top corporations, Tampa Electric Company. And then I started my own consulting engineering firm in 1990. And when I started my own business, because I had my license as a professional engineer in Florida since 1982, I found that, I could do something, that I can be an entrepreneur. It's something that I love, which is engineering, a mechanical engineering. And we started out and been growing ever since.
And Joe, what were some of the defining moments for you in building a movement for your business as a black man in the field of engineering here in Hillsborough County? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, one of the defining moments was I had worked at TECO. I left there, went to City of Tallahassee, and then after that I couldn't get a job. So I said, well, what can I do? And I had my license in engineering, and I had an opportunity to work with a consulting engineering firm, Charles Davis and Associates, a very large black consulting engineering firm back in 1985. And from that experience of working with Charles Davis for 5 years out of Detroit, I learned the consulting engineering business. So then after that, I said, hey, in 1990, when I left Charles Davis, I said I need to do something. I started up this business with two partners of mine from TECO. And one of the defining moments was the first contract we got. When I first got a $80,000 contract, I had to decide who's going to get to work with my partners. And it was decided that since I'm 52% owner and I'm the minority, that I'll make the calls. And from that point on, we haven't looked back. We've done over 100 projects. We probably generate maybe about $10 to $20 million in the last 20 years.
Wow.
Because we don't want to grow our company. What we do, we're working professional. We're all licensed PEs. We do our own in-house work. And one of the main things I've learned is don't grow too fast and don't try to get too big. Because as you move bigger, you turn into more discrimination and racism the larger you get. Because a lot of people want to bring you down. And so I've sort of stayed in my lane. And that's why I've been successful, because we just don't do anything. You know, we target what we do. So one of the defining moments was getting started and just getting that first contract.
And, Joe, what were some of the major influences in your life? And tell our listening audience, I believe they will want to know, why? Why do you make those choices? What are the major influences in your life?
Well, I guess the major influence in my life besides God is my mother. My mother was a very well-educated lady. Started as a short order cook, got an undergrad at FAMU, a master's at South Florida, and her doctorate in special education administration from the University of Iowa, where I got my degree. And she's been an inspiration. She's recently passed in July. And so last thing she told me on her deathbed was, I love you, and win the election. So I'm trying to win the election.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
Right. But she was one of my very instrumental people in my life that caused me to choose to go an education route and also to be an entrepreneur, because I also do real estate investment. We used to own about 40 houses. And so she was a very entrepreneurial woman herself, taking her school retirement. And so I learned from her how to actually go in business, to run a business. And she showed me how to take nothing to make something out of it.
And I see how she would have been a great influence for you. And you spoke about her working so hard, from short order cook to a PhD, and it's always commendable to see women come up through the ranks with hard work and dedication. Well, let me ask you this about education. Now, here in Hillsborough County, we have a lower than estimated average for the graduation rate of African American males. So I want to ask you, I know you see that problem because as a vice president of the NAACP, you're constantly reading the reports. You know what those numbers look like. And as a candidate, I know you've done your due diligence. So tell us, what are some of the specific plans you see to implement that would help to increase the rate of graduation for kids in our community, especially the African-American male?
Well, one of the problems we have, this is not just Hillsborough County. This is systemic across the United States. It's just that a lot of this deals with poverty. A lot of the low-performing schools and the low graduation rates, if you isolate by areas within the school district, it deals with poverty. You find that your low-poverty areas have low graduation rates, and some of your low-poverty areas have a high graduation rate. So it's just an opposite situation. However, one of the main things in solving a problem, being an engineer, that's what we do to solve problems, you got to identify it. And a lot of times you get graduation rates, somebody says, well, it's 70%, it's 6%. So it's sort of nebulous. So what is the graduation rate of a school district? Because a lot of times the numbers were being reported were not accurate. So the NAACP, through its partnership we have with the district, it's been around since 2003, we came up with we do monthly reports, and one of the recent monthly reports talked about ongoing disparities. And some of those disparities, because you got to understand the disparity before you can start talking about how to get graduation up, so that African Americans' low graduation rate is 58%. So one of the things we need to have is more transparency in the reporting. The reporting is not transparent. You may get three different numbers from three different ways. Matter of fact, they just had a recent snafu where they reported that African Americans had increased the rate of taking AP courses, advanced placement courses, and it was erroneous. So they had to go back and correct it because it was not correct. It made it look like it was higher and going up higher, and actually it was going lower. Some other disparities is that the high disciplinary rate, because all of this graduation rate is not just one thing. It's got disciplinary rate issues, like one out of four black males. So we need more transparency in reporting that disciplinary rate. Like 8,000 students dropped out of school last year, and we need more accountability and transparency in that reporting. Certificate of completions, okay, for the school year is something that is increasing, especially at Middleton. You know, there were 80 students that walked across the stage. They didn't get a diploma. They got a certificate of completion. And Chamberlain, it was 49, Hillsborough High School, 45, Lato, 80. And so you have all of these students that go 4 years thinking they're going to have a diploma, and they get a certificate of completion, and you can't go to the military with that. You can't even get a job with that. You've got to go back and get a GED. So that's one of the other things. Another thing we're finding is that Middleton High School, which is our engineering magnet, has the highest rate of student attrition, and lack of matriculation occurs at the 9th and the 10th grade level where they drop out. So, you know, and the other thing is even our elementary schools, they are like 40 elementary schools, and 70% or higher are reading below grade level and below proficiency, predominantly black students of color. One of the main things of a graduation rate being low is reading proficiency. If you can't read, you're not going to probably be able to graduate. And so one of the things is that the district has to start early. So you can't start at ninth grade saying we're going to increase graduation rates. We've got to go all the way back to pre-K. And one of the programs that have helped in the past, and the federal government's cut the funding out, and that's Head Start. Head Start is vitally important in low-poverty areas, like I have in District 5. If you can get those children in Head Start, if you can get them doing their ABCs, their phonics early on, then that carries forward. But the issue is that we've got students that are all over the place because there's been no strategic, targeted approach to solving the problem until a Title VI complaint was filed by a member of the community to say that their black students are not achieving and they're getting excessive disciplinary rates. And it's come down, and we're now with this reorganization and with the school district coming up with a new five-year strategic plan, that's included in there. So the solution to graduation rates is improving the reading proficiency, having more transparency, and more accountability, because a lot of times School District Hillsborough County, under the previous superintendent, they would cover that up. They would not give us real numbers. Even board members couldn't get the numbers. And so it became an issue of, well, you just got to believe what they say. But since that time,
Joe,
excuse
me, but let me ask you, what do you see as some of the necessary tools to get our parents involved, get our parents more connected with our schools, the community more connected with the schools, the teachers, and the parents of Hillsborough County, in order to ensure the academic success of even the students who are at the lower end of
the
income,
social, economic?
That's a great
question. And a lot of times when you look at the students that are not of color, when you look at white students in predominantly white schools, they have a higher participation of the parents and the PTA, and they're more involved with their children. When you look at the low poverty schools, we're working two jobs. So a lot of female head of households, they're telling me, Mr. Robinson, I got two jobs. I mean, how am I going to get over there when I got to go to work at one job, come from another one? I really don't have anyone there to give an I wish y'all had an extended day so y'all could have my student a little longer. So some of the things that we're starting to look at on the family and community engagement, it's like hosting a graduation awareness event for incoming ninth grade families to discuss graduation requirements and credits, you know, start at the ninth grade so they'll know before the 12th grade what's required. Like hosting a parent awareness night for incoming and ninth graders for testing session to discuss the EOC exams, ACT, SAT, and PERT testing. And then what they need to do is to focus on minority students, like ensuring equitable representation of black learners in school awards and recognition ceremonies, because a lot of times
absolutely.
Kids don't see themselves achieving, you know. And then the final one that I'm looking at from like over like Pinellas County has already started this, and we're trying to get there, is invite families of black students to a graduation scholarship evening specific to black students. Pull the data specific to black learners and match to graduation status and scholarship opportunities. That's what we need to
These
be doing
all,
in Hillsborough County.
Yes, sir. These are all really great ideas. And, Joe, I'm going to ask you to hold up for just a moment. We are going to go to a commercial break, and then we'll be right back, and we'll complete the interview today. I do want to thank you, but I ask you hold on for a minute to our listening audience while we go to a commercial break, and we'll be right back with you.
Thank you.
We are so excited to have you listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show. Please call, text, or email family, business associates, or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now. Or they can join us on the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC. Or by phone at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Don't forget to follow us by liking our page and post your questions or comments. NABWIC's intent is to always go into the high schools and colleges to encourage our young black girls and women to enter into the construction industry and to take interest into the STEM programs that are offered. We encourage you to listen to this show or past shows on the internet by logging in at www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC. Thank you, and we're back.
Thank you, Joe. It is so wonderful to have featured guest today, Joe Robinson, a candidate for Hillsborough County School District, and this is District 5C, Mr. Joe Robinson. What a pleasure. And so, we were speaking a lot about the STEM programs that are in the schools. We talked specifically about graduation rates. We talked about how you started your business. We talked about some of the memorable accomplishments. We talked about your mom and how she was an influencing body in your household that moved you into the man that you are today. And so, Joe, we've highlighted a lot of the accomplishments you've had throughout your life. What I want to ask you about is, and this might be, you let me know if this is a great question for you or not, but tell us about some of the memorable accomplishments that you've been able to witness while working with the NAACP. Tell us about some of those movements here.
Because one of the greatest,
we're not attached. We want to hear about it.
Well, one of the greatest accomplishments with the NAACP that I can think of is the establishment of the Office of Supply Diversity Office and getting a disparity study done for Hillsborough County School District. I've been working on that for years, and I'm pretty much the local expert on disparity studies on every governmental agency. I've been involved in every disparity study here as the NAACP. I used to be the economic development chair, and besides the second vice president. First vice president. So having that experience with NAACP allowed me to go to these agencies. I'd go to the board meetings, say, if you have a disparity study, show them the disparity. And they actually funded these studies, cost $200,000-$300,000, followed the studies. And the success was that we got the study done. We had them change their policies and procedures. And then within 2 to 3 years, I started seeing results where African-American women, female, and Latinos were getting contracts. That is the best feeling in the world. I wasn't getting any contracts because I'm the troublemaker.
Yes.
But at least everybody else was getting contracts and growing their business, and some of them even became millionaires now. I've had like several millionaires that started with nothing at the school district and have done quite well. So that's really rewarding as an NAACP-er.
And it sounds like a really great accomplishment. We have a question, and this question is coming from our listening audience, and that go ahead, caller. This is what the telephone number ending in 7528. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Mr. Robinson. My name is Deborah Thompson, and I'm the legislative chair of the National Association of Black Women in Construction. I also work with the Economic Development Department for the NAACP Jacksonville branch, and I am their chapter Economic Development Director. And I'm also with the Jacksonville Urban League. And so all of these organizations I have worked with over the years, even coming right out of college, I worked with the NAACP Youth and College Division with a workforce program to try and get jobs for our students as part-time, as other as the majority race had already had that experience and we were not into the process. So I'm talking way back. I don't know exactly how old you are, but I'm an old person now. And but I started a long time ago. Benjamin Hooks used to sign on my paycheck. But my question is to go back to the point of 1960 and before, when we had at the national level a committee on government contracting. And I would like for you to work with me as the president and legislative chair of the National Association of Black Women in Construction to go back and look at that document, because that document set the precedence for all of our minority business enterprise programs that have now been changed with the movement out of California, and I can't think of the gentleman's name, when they moved with the proposition to first eliminate the affirmative action programs in the colleges, which then flowed down to all of our governmental agencies, to include our state agencies, our county agencies, to include our school boards, to include our city activities in contracting for minority and women-owned businesses. And it started out as a minority program. Under Para Mitchell, it was specifically and particularly geared at black businesses. We have not, in my opinion, fulfilled all of those obligations, and it gets watered down as we come through the ages. Now we're into 2000, and it is really a passion of mine to make sure that all of those things come to fruition. And with the present election on the board, can you tell me that you will, elected or unelected, work with us to look at that legislation, to look at that bill, to look at that policy and procedure that comes from the national office and see that we are not the community of business owners that cannot perform? If we're not performing, there is a reason for that non-performance. And it dates back to what you're saying about training of the workforce. We are not trained properly and continuously to do business in this capitalistic society as it exists. So with that, that's the only thing that I ask you to do, is to just work with us with that on our legislative committee.
Oh, I've been working with Ms. McNeil on issues with minority business. But let me just say this. Something you may not be aware of that works. And what we're trying to do is the NAACP of Hillsborough County is the only branch that has a partnership agreement with the local school district. And what we've been trying to do, I even went to NASA to try to get a resolution that all other NAACPs look at the model we have here in Hillsborough County with our school district and model it as far as our Office of Supply Diversity. It's been a great success. Because what we do is we meet once a month, we sit down and go over issues, and if we need the superintendent or anybody underneath him, they have to come to the meeting, and it's just a straight cross-the-table talk, and we have someone to go back, find things out. And that has worked very, very well. It's one of the only NAACP branches that has a written partnership agreement with its local school district as far as economics in the area of contracting. And it's tied into the disparity study that was done. So now I don't have a problem at taking a look at that. I'm familiar with some of the economic development resolutions of the NAACP. And I'm a baby boomer, so I'm probably right up there in age with you. So I understand it. and I'm working towards that. But I don't have any problem working with anyone when it comes about getting opportunities for African Americans and minority students, people, and businesses. I'm a very strong advocate. I've even been in lawsuits where I fought the issues. I protested on certain contracts that I felt wasn't fair and won. So I understand it, and I think that, as you know, the NAACP is to advocate and sometimes agitate. And that's what I do.
And I do want to thank you for that question, Deborah Thompson. Did he answer your question for you?
Yes, again, like I said, thank you so very much. I'll talk with our Jacksonville branch and the state. I work very closely with Tori Austin. And, again, I think that our emphasis should be on trying to make sure that our small businesses are prepared. But in that preparation, we need to also make sure that there are not that we remove as many barriers from having us move into bonding, be able to access the capital. I mean, you've got all kind of programs out here. So access to capital is only a portion of what is happening. Mm-hmm. It is not only the access. I mean, we've got all kinds of funding mechanisms and instruments out here. We just can't reach them. The same thing with bonding. We cannot grow our businesses as primes if we do not have capital and bonding to put us in a prime position, especially on construction contracts.
Yes, ma'am, and then Hillsborough County has actually got a program for bonding where they've actually, you don't even need a bond up to a certain $100,000 level amount on small projects. So there's some things that's been done. I know Tori Austin very well. I've been knowing Tori for years when he was working for the state of Florida. So I've been dealing with Tori when I was Economic Development Chair. And Mr. Dory Weiser, President.
Okay, one last comment. The other thing is that it is a misconception to grow a small business in this capitalistic society and waive the bonds. We've got to get our contractors from subcontracting to prime positions through that bonding process. And we need more of those people in the construction industry doing that and making that essential.
Yes.
That's a very important
thing. One of the things I've found over the years is I tell people this. Give me an opportunity to make a mistake, and you won't have to use my company anymore. And in 26 years, I have yet to have anybody don't give me any repeat work. Because one of the things I tell them is just give me that opportunity to make a mistake. You ain't got to use me no more. And I have yet to have somebody not give me some additional work. So that puts a high standard on your own self and the quality and level of work. But it does take some type of mentoring. It takes some type of coaching. And it takes someone to have a real opportunity instead of just perceived opportunities to be successful.
All I ask is that you work with the members of the National Association of Black Women in Construction and other small businesses that are minority and especially and particularly blacks, to help us move up and ascend in this capitalistic society.
Oh, I'm doing that, and I will continue to do that. So you can get my information and contact me anytime.
And we thank you for that. And that is a problem when communities that are in need of the services, and they say the service is there, but the public is not able to access it. Joe, I do want to thank you for your comments and for your assistance to the women in business and the small businesses that haven't gone as far as you have and haven't been able to participate in the business community the way they should. Did you want to tell us something about who you are personally? Tell us about the books you read most recently, or what are you reading right now?
Well, right now I'm reading the Bible in this campaign, you know, because my campaign walks by faith and not by sight. So I've been looking at some Bible verses and phrases, and I've also been reading Ms. Doris Ross Reddick's book, One Person Can Make a Difference. And in there she shows how her one person sitting on that school board made a difference to increase contracting opportunities for minorities. So, I mean, that's what I'm reading. But right now I've been campaigning heavily, and because my campaign walks by faith and not by sight, and I read a Bible verse.
Amen.
So that's the book I'm reading.
Amen. Well, Joe, we're just about out of time now, but I do want to ask you, if you would please tell our listening audience what three things about yourself that you want them to know. And the second part to the question asks, why should the voters of Hillsborough County, District 5, choose you as their school board representative rather than your opponent?
Well, as people have said, I know the players, I know the problems, and I know what has worked, and I know what has failed in the past, and I'm not unafraid of the task at hand to do the right thing. And I believe that my experience, my commitment, and the leadership I've had over the years serving on various boards and going to various meetings for the last 20 to 30 years at different governmental agencies give me a unique experience that qualifies me to be a force for equal quality education. And that's why I'm running, because I feel I am ready on day one, and I believe I'm the only candidate prepared to lead today. So I don't need a break-in period. I don't need any training wheels. I think I'm ready to sit there on the board as a newly elected member and immediately start getting a collegial relationship with the board members to get full votes to move our community and the Black community and the Latino community forward.
And again, this has been, we do thank you for that. We thank you for joining us today. And we thank you for all of your comments. This has been an interview with Joe Robinson, candidate for District 5, Hillsborough County Public School. Not only that, Joe Robinson is the CEO and president of RHC and Associates. And we certainly do want to thank you for joining us at NABWIC Talks. This is the National Association of Black Women in Construction. And we do want to thank the audience as well. And we'll see you again next week. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This concludes our show. Thank you for listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. For more information about NABWIC and our membership, please visit us on the web at www.nagwic.org. We are the voice of Black women in construction. Have a great and prosperous day.